podcast.
We've spoken a lot about resilience and stress awareness throughout the pandemic and what we can do to support ourselves and each other through that period. So a stress awareness month drew to an end at the end of April. I spoke to Martha Simpson of Martha Simpson Coaching, who's worked with the council in our leadership development programme and also developed a resilience alphabet through the pandemic and worked to support staff from councils and the NHS in managing that difficult period. Martha then went on to create a resilience alphabet for kids and one for young people, and they've been adopted and used by Scottish Government as well. So here's my conversation with Martha, and just talking a little bit about those resources and how they can support us all just to manage through the pandemic, but other difficult and stressful periods. Here's Martha.
Hi, Martha. Thanks for joining me. And we've done quite a lot of work together and the work you've done with other colleagues in the council. But when we went into COVID, you were pretty quick off the mark of recognising some of the challenges that people would have through the pandemic. And you did a lot of work to develop the resilience alphabet, or multiple resilience alphabets. So tell people a little bit about that and how that relates to sort of managing stress as well in periods like the one we've had.
Hi, Pippa, and hi, everybody. And yes, indeed, it's over a year since we were in that space thinking about resilience and the resilience alphabet. And I guess how that came about is quite poignant, actually, because it came about at the point where the pandemic was kicking off and nobody was aware what that was going to mean. And we certainly didn't have the insight into what it was going to mean like we do now looking backwards. But it became clear quite quickly there was quite a bit of support going into frontline services and people who worked there. And I guess it came to the fore really by conversation with a few people who were just talking about their own resilience and how were they going to manage in those difficult circumstances, and perhaps people working in the COVID hub. And then we were talking to children who were at school, and they were concerned about how safe mummy was going to be in the hospital. And I guess very quickly I thought, what can we do at this time? What can our contribution be? And came up with the idea of writing a blog. So I committed to writing a blog every day for a month. That was a kind of madness in itself, but decided in order not to be sitting every morning thinking, what am I going to write about today? I'd call it a resilience alphabet and take a letter of the alphabet every day. So at least that part of it was pretty certain. And from that came a resilience alphabet, which was a series of activities for 26 days for aimed at adults. And then, as I said, we began to get interested in children and who is supporting children and young people. And I had a friend whose child asked her a really scary question, and we thought, what could we do for kids? So with a colleague, Phil, we put together the resilience alphabet for kids, worked with Aberdeen City, actually, in terms of some input from them. And then we eventually did one for teenagers as well. So that's how it came about. That was the thinking. But I guess it was a recognition early on that resilience and self-care was going to be high on this agenda, no matter how long the pandemic went for.
And then I know, you know, with people you were already working with, you did a lot of sessions, and some of our teams got involved in that, and just how appreciative they were of just having that sort of short time out. And they were short amongst the sort of real frenetic activity, but just what that's meant. And you know, that then went wider, I think, as well, isn't it? Because the certainly the children's alphabet has been adopted nationally as a resource for young people.
Yeah. And we actually had it was on Education Scotland's website as well as our own website, and it downloaded over 5,000 copies pretty quickly. So again, we knew there was a real need for it, and that had been targeted at children in the 5 to 12 age group. And I have a teenage granddaughter, so we began to be interested in who's doing what for 13 and 14 year olds, and maybe we should do something. So we wrote something very different, obviously, for the teenage audience. And again, it went on Education Scotland's website and has been distributed. They also both went in Scottish Government hub as well, in terms of helping people and supporting people through the pandemic. So it's great. It was a great feeling that it was actually impacting on so many little lives as well as adult lives.
Yeah, and I mean, I know the feedback, you know, we've had from the focus throughout the last year on people's well-being and you know, it's really got positive response from people of just, you know, wonder about just what it, you know, for the practical, you know, advantages of that, of just keeping people going. But I know it also is given a sense of how valued people have been just in that investment we've put in. And I suppose it, even now, particularly with young people, I suppose I'm conscious now as we're into the assessment period for young people, you know, it's gone in cycles, but back to quite a challenging period as well for young people. So that's still accessible, isn't it?
It is still accessible, Pippa. And I've been surprised how over that whole period I've been signposting people to it. So there was a sense in which it was written for a month in March into April, but in fact, people are still accessing it. And it can be accessed at my own website if it's useful for people to have that. So that's www.marthasimpsoncoaching.co.uk. And all three of the alphabets are there as separate buttons and they're all downloadable. So we haven't kept a copyright on it other than the images can't be changed, but people can download it and use it as is useful for them.
Yeah, and I definitely recommend it. It's a fantastic resource. I mean, the principles for each are similar. Maybe pick out for people some of the sort of key principles that are themes through the alphabet.
I think the very first one is do something daily. That seems really simple and it might seem quite a commitment, but we all sleep daily and we all eat daily. And when we're under immense pressure and there's a lot of stress around us in the environment right now, it's really good if we can also take the time to just pay a little bit of attention to our own stress level and do something practical and very intentional on a daily basis. It doesn't need to be take long. People who know me know that I talk a lot about 10-minute holidays. So it can simply be ring fencing 10 minutes in the day and going doing something fun or something that gives you energy. Or just closing down the world and just having 10 minutes to yourself. But I think the learning across this whole period has been little and often really helps us manage stress.
Yeah, I know. Every morning I get up early and I walk the dogs and, you know, sometimes it's tough on a winter's morning, but the difference that fresh air makes and, you know, I'm always conscious of trying to go away and take a walk at lunchtime sometimes and just set that example, because I think sometimes it's really hard. You feel like there's a bit of guilt sets in as to, you know, is this the right thing to be doing with my time? But actually the benefits are, you know, outweigh the lost time.
And I think in an environment where, and I do think even in you know, May 2021, there's a lot of uncertainty around and people are feeling under pressure. People have lived with this for 14 months. So there's a bit of tiredness around and people have had to find energy from somewhere and deal with a whole lot of stuff we didn't expect to be dealing with. And I think even at this point, we need to be a little bit self-reflective and be thinking about, you know, how am I? And almost like, you know, look after ourselves in order that we can support others as well. So there is something, almost a principle there of looking after yourself. And then doing the other stuff rather than doing all the other stuff and falling over at the end of the day because you haven't taken some time just to re-energise and refocus yourself.
Yeah, I think what you touch on there is, you know, is that sense of how it's been different for different people. And I've been conscious of that throughout the pandemic, right at the start, very conscious. You know, for us in work, it was very busy, it was frenetic, you were sort of running to keep up. And for other people, they were stuck at home in lockdown, maybe not in work. You know, for them, the world slowed down. And even now, you know, today we've heard about some more easing of lockdown. And, you know, for some people, they'll be clamouring to get out into the world, where others, that will be a scary prospect for them. And just being aware of that is quite important.
Absolutely, Pippa. And there's something really important about testing our assumptions. You know, I'm involved in conversational intelligence, and we've talked about conversational intelligence, and I've done some work with some folks in the council. And we talk all the time about testing assumptions. And right now, it would be unfortunate if we made an assumption that everybody else was feeling how I'm feeling. Because actually, as you say, the experience has been different for everybody. And our needs in terms of looking after our own well-being are different from everybody. So I think, getting into that conversational space of listening to people and really connecting with people and where they are. And we know how useful just being listened to is. You know, just having the conversation, just being transparent, just having the conversation about how we're feeling can be a real help to us.
Yeah, and I mean, you got me very much into conversation intelligence, and I think good conversations are so important. That sense of, you know, with as you describe, it's that from listening to people, stepping under their umbrella, so to speak, and really trying to get a sense of how it is but where they're sitting. And you know, I've talked before on in other podcasts about trauma-informed practice, and it's with people, and it's that same principle, I think, of just being mindful and of what might be informing somebody else's reaction to what they're dealing with just now, and having those thoughtful conversations with people.
And some of us respond to that ability to share with another human being and talk it out. And for others, it's more useful for them to go and put on a pair of shoes and go for a really big walk or go for a run or on a cycle. And for others, it might just be, you know, meditation or something very still and very private and very, very alone. And again, it's like get to know yourself, know what works for you, know what energizes you, and know what helps you to recover from stress. And what works for you won't work for me. So it is really important that we think about what really works for us in our recovery from what has been 14 months of uncertainty and a lot of hard work for a lot of people.
And you know, we talk a lot about self-talk, and you know, and talk about conversations. It doesn't necessarily have to be with somebody else. We all have a bit of an inner voice going, and that can, you know, it's important that that's a healthy conversation as much as the ones you have with other people.
Totally. We picked up on that a little bit in the Joe's alphabet, the one we did, Joe's journey, we called it, the one we did for teenagers, where at the time a number of people were saying, and we were saying also, it's okay not to be okay right now. And I guess, you know, some of these messages from the front end, as it were, of the pandemic are still relevant to us at this stage, where we're all going to deal with this, as you've said already, coming out of lockdown differently, and some of us are going to embrace the opportunities and some of us are going to be quite tentative about it. But there's back to that space of it's okay not to be okay, but be honest with yourself, and in your self-talk, don't expect too much of yourself. Be compassionate and have a bit of self-compassion, a bit of self-kindness as well for what you might be feeling, because it's new territory for everybody. You know, what was normal has now become novel. And there's something about how we get back into that novel space as well.
Yeah, and I think it's, I mean, you've coached me and you've coached other people in the council and you've coached for many, many years. And I think it's pretty important not to think just in terms of COVID and what we've been dealing with. This is an ongoing issue that, you know, everybody needs that ongoing self-care. That's a healthy thing to do if you know, either in your personal life or, you know, in professional, you need to keep topping up those sort of stamina and resilience and on an ongoing basis. This isn't just a new thing from the pandemic.
No, absolutely. And I read quite a lot of years ago a book written by a GP who was recovering from chronic fatigue. And she said in her book, every morning I have a basket full of energy. And if I'm taking lots of energy out of it, I need to find ways to put energy back in. And that's true in all aspects of our life. I think you're right. It's important for us not to think that stress and how we handle stress and seek to transform its impact on us is not something for this period. It's good behaviours and good habits for our whole lives. And it's that putting back energy in that basket so that we're not running an empty.
Yeah, and I mean, we've touched on conversational intelligence, but it's important as well to be recognizing this is a real physical reaction. So you know, people might think it's a state of mind or a mood or a mental health issue, but that actually translates into a physical reaction. Those things are a sort of neurochemical reaction in your brain, but that is having impacts on everything else, and that's something we should, you know, partly why we should pay attention. This is what we're feeling, it's in response to those physical responses.
And indeed, even although when we think about our experience of life, all of our experience of life, the only place we can experience it is in our bodies. It's what we have. We have bodies and we have brains and we have emotions. And there's a sense in which we will always experience it in all of it, won't we? We'll experience, you know, we might say we've got a gut feeling about something, which is in our body. We might say it's heartfelt, which is in our body. And we might be cognitive and thoughtful about what's going on around us and be trying to work it out. And our best chance of managing anything stressful is to use our bodies and all that we have and all the different aspects of us to manage it and to move forward in a positive way.
I think, you know, you've touched on simple things, and I suppose it can seem maybe trite, but some of the things that you can do on an ongoing basis are quite simple. You know, taking breaks and standing up for one, because you'll remember the specifics better than me probably, but you know, the research that, you know, actually, you know, your brain function and things is better if you just stand up every half an hour and change position, and that ability to you standing up or just changing your situation can change your state if you come off a difficult call or a difficult conversation. There are really little things but can make a really marked difference in how we respond to things.
Definitely. And again, our body's our tool, isn't it? It's the thing, we can move it. We don't have to sit in the same room where we've been sitting all day. We can potentially get out and have a walk around. And as you say, just something as simple as standing up or just becoming aware of your breathing and taking three or four good deep breaths. If you're musical, go find a musical instrument for 5 minutes. There's all sorts of ways in which you can change your state quite quickly. And all of this goes back to your own self-awareness. How aware am I that my shoulders are tense because I've been on Teams today? Or how aware am I that my head's a bit heady because I haven't drunk enough water? So there's something here about self-awareness kicking in as well.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that is in a lot of your, all the alphabets is about journaling and mm-hmm. the role that can play in just identifying some of those things of, you know, what is triggering on any day, how you might be feeling the days you feel better than others. And again, the value of just 5 minutes, just writing down how you feel or.
Yeah, definitely, Pippa. I'm a great believer if you're feeling stuff in your body and you want to manage it, kind of get it out your body. And that for some of us will be a long chat with a friend on a phone. For some of us, it might be 5 minutes with a journal where we just reflect on the day. We get the feelings out of ourselves onto paper. We can look at it and we move on. So, yeah, it doesn't need to be complicated and it doesn't need to be hard. It just needs a little bit of time on a regular basis. And for us to find the thing that works for us, because that's one of the things we do know, that what works for some of us won't work for others. So we all have to find our own right thing to do to give us that space and that recovery time.
Yeah, and there's, you know, we've talked about looking after yourself, but there's also some of the same principles that we can apply to others of just listening and what we call in conversational intelligence, just double clicking, and is somebody really okay when they say they are?
Definitely, and it's back to, you know, we're talking earlier about listening to ourselves, but we need to listen to others as well. because we will see the cues and we will hear the cues. If we are in that listening place, they'll give us the signals, and I think creating that safe conversational space for somebody is a great gift, actually. We've been doing some work this week where we've been talking about listening to connect and recognising that being listened to is such a rare thing, but somebody really listening to you and really hearing you and really hearing your story is it's like a gift. It's really affirming, and sometimes just taking the time to listen to somebody really helps their level of stress.
Yeah, because I think it can be really easy to quickly react from to what somebody says based on, you know, a sort of self-centered view of the world, and actually stopping and thinking, actually, there's probably something else that is driving how that person is reacting, can just shift how a conversation, that taking a beat and, as you describe, you know, in a breath and kind of go, okay, I'm not going to react first off. Let's just try and understand it a little bit. Because I know we're both great believers that, you know, actually the power of doing that and then the conversations that can come as a result in terms of what you can achieve, but also just in terms of what that means for each other and their well-being is, you know, it's a massively powerful thing.
Definitely, and just building that trust, you know, building that trust with another and being a trustworthy person, again, can be just a great gift to somebody that they know they can share how they're feeling, or they can say it's been a terrible day or a rubbish day or whatever kind of day they want to describe it as, and just getting a bit of balance and a bit of perspective on it as well. So there's something there about just how we can be human together as well, in terms of supporting people when life feels stressful for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's, you know, that's so key, and it can seem like something that's so simple, and it's not necessarily you know, the old-edged common sense isn't necessarily common.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
And I think, you know, if there's anything with sort of the focus that we've had through wellbeing and from things like Stress Awareness Month, that can just get us to take a second look at those things. You know, there's a real value for family, children, colleagues at work. You know, it really is universally applicable.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
And have you got any, from doing that work, have you had any sort of good examples of and feedback from people who've used that, and then you know, because that must be quite rewarding, having put in that work, which was, it was a busy time for everybody, but really busy thing to do. So, you know, what's been the high points for you off the back of doing that?
I think a couple of things, Pippa. I mean, it was a crazy thing to do. Trying to find a word for the letter X was no fun. But actually, in terms of the impact of the work, was a great satisfaction in itself. So that feedback that it's being downloaded. One of the great joys was a Twitter feed, actually. And it was children at school putting up their pictures, like, we've been doing the letter Y today, it's all about you. And so we had lots of lovely examples of where it had really impacted, and that kids were doing lots of stuff with it. Likewise with adults, I did, as you know, the resilience webinars on the back of that. And again, we did a series of mostly six, and I did some of those with a colleague. And that sense of people actually trying the stuff, people doing the stuff and finding it helpful. So I guess that's for me the biggest satisfaction of it, when something that you've constructed or created has people going, do you know what, I've tried that and it really works. And I'm now adopting it as a practice. That's been really good.
Yeah, and I know from our point of view, I mean, I touched on it in the beginning, but, you know, when it all started, I think that was one of the great things that everybody got stuck in and contributed in a way that their work helped. And, you know, that, I know you were doing a lot of evenings and people were sort of joining the webinars in their own time in the evening, but I know from the feedback, you know, the difference that that made of just taking a pause and thinking about yourself at a time when people were working silly hours and at a ridiculous pace. And, you know, you worked with other councils and NHS staff and things across the board, people really dealing with some tough stuff.
Definitely. And some of it's about giving ourselves permission. One of the most important pieces of learning is giving yourself permission to take the time to look after yourself. And particularly when there's tough stuff out there and having to manage what some people were having to manage. My optimistic hope would be that people will have learned these lessons, learned the value and the importance of taking a bit of time every day to look after myself in order that I can do what I do, and that won't end, that these will become life habits that people recognise the benefit of.
Yeah, and I think you're right, all in any number of ways, but this is just one of them. Through COVID and what's been a really challenging situation, there's definitely some positives, and I think one of them should be the continued focus on well-being and managing stress and resilience, and that actually there's a real value for individuals and for organisations in investing a bit of time in that.
Without a doubt, and one of the things we hope we have learned through it was a great leveler. Suddenly roles were not as important, titles were not as important. People just wanted to put their sleeves up and get a job done. And there's been great learning from that as well, in terms of when we give people opportunity to grow and expand and develop, they take that opportunity. So there's been so many lessons from it, but yeah, definitely major lessons about the importance of self-care for sustainability.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so many things have sort of, silos broken down, partnership working just flourished and things. It's, you know, that's been the real positives, the thing of what people could achieve, and perhaps even things that they wouldn't have thought possible. That they could want to replicate quite the pace that we ask people to work at, but there's definitely good learning we can get out of that. So I definitely encourage people to go and check out all of the resilience alphabets, because even if you haven't got children, the one for children is fab. We should call out our colleague Phil for his artwork. You've mentioned him already, but Phil's done a fab job. People should look at. So thank you for talking about it, and hopefully people will go and check out the resilience alphabet, and even though it's not, if it's not in relation to COVID, to practice some of the exercises that are in there, because they're definitely worthwhile. So thank you for that, Martha.
Thank you.
Thank you to Martha for joining me for that conversation, and for all the work she's done in supporting the council and other public sector bodies through the pandemic. If you're interested in finding out more, you can check her out at marthasimpsoncoaching.co.uk, and you'll also find links to the various resilience alphabets at that site. Take care. Pippa's Podcast.